Dr. Barbara Hayford is an expert on midges, those very small two-winged flies that sometimes hover around one's head at the water's edge. Her expertise has taken her from Wayne State College in Nebraska all the way to Magnolia's Lake Halves Goal to Crater Lake in Oregon and now Lake Tahoe. The composition of midge species in a lake can indicate the state the lake is in. For example, whether the lake has a lot of nutrients or little.
Thank you, Barbara Hayford, for being a part of this Tahoe Project interview. And you are here at the Tahoe Science Conference because you are an expert on coronamids. And you have been doing some work that compares Lake Tahoe with other lakes around the world. And I'll let you tell us a bit more about that. But first, please tell us, what are coronamids?
Coronamids are a group of flies. Their common name is non-biting midges. So they're related to, if you know what a no-see-um is or a punky, those are things that annoy you. They come and they bite you. Midges or non-biting midges do not bite you. They're a very, very common group of aquatic flies. You'll see them in lakes and streams, cold springs. You'll see them in hot springs. So they're a very diverse, interesting group of aquatic insect.
And freshwater?
They are in freshwater. There are some species that live in the marine environment or in places like the Salt Lake, inland salty water. Yeah.
Okay. And why are they so fascinating?
They're fascinating for me because they're incredibly diverse. We estimate there might be 15,000 species that someday we will fully document. We're not there yet, but there might be about 15,000 species of midge in the world. They're found in every part of the world. So there are midges in the Arctic. They're in up to about 50 degrees, 45 to 50 degrees Celsius in thermal springs. So people around here that like to go to hot springs, you've probably seen them. They are in Antarctica. So it's the only free-living insect that has a larval, pupal, and an adult stage. So it's very, very unique in that way. And you asked a moment ago about whether they're found just in fresh water. They're also unique in being one of the only insects that can live fully submerged in the ocean, in seagrass beds. But they're also found in tidal pools. They're found in alpine peaks, at the very bottom of Lake Baikal, the deepest lake in the world. They're found there. And they're found all throughout Lake Tahoe. So they're very interesting and unique, and they're fun to study.
And you said there are many species mm-hmm. of coronamid or midge. What's the species diversity in the Lake Tahoe area?
We have documented right now about 67 species in the lake itself, but we don't know what the diversity is in the surrounding lakes. So we'd like to go up there and see what's up there. We'd like to know what some of these streams have. And somebody might have studied what the coronamid composition is in Truckee River, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. And of those 67 probably plus species, have these been present historically in Lake Tahoe? Does the species composition vary over time? What's your vantage point on that?
We recently completed a comparison with Sudeep Chandra's lab with Annie Carey's, and we compared the coronamid composition from right now to back in the 1960s, and we've seen a change in the community. And in fact, we've lost a lot of the coronamid species from the very greatest depths of the lake. And that's a bit of a concern. So we hopefully can monitor that more fully in the future.
And just to clarify, so sort of for a visual on the coronamid or the midge, we think generally in the public about, as you said, the little flies that flutter around at the water's edge. But when you say we lose them, we've lost them in the lake, you're talking about a different life stage. What do they look like in that life stage?
Oh, very good. So they are what we call a holometabolous insect. So they have a larval stage, a pupal stage, and an adult stage, like a butterfly does. And so the larval stage looks like a little worm. It has a hard head capsule and little legs, and so it crawls around through the bottom of the lake, it crawls over rocks. It's part of a complex community of other insects and invertebrates, such as crustaceans and clams. caddisflies and mayflies all live down there. So it's just part of that community. So it looks like a little worm, and it lives in the bottom. And then what it does is it metamorphosizes into a pupa. And the pupa has like a little bit of a swimming section on its end, and it'll swim up through the water column. Even if it lives 30 meters deep, it'll swim all the way up to that water column, get to the surface, and the adult will climb out of the skin. They'll actually rest on the skin like a raft, like they're surfboarding or something.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they'll fly, and they'll mate, and then they'll put their eggs back in the water. And in the deep zones, those eggs have to go all the way back to the bottom. If we look at fish, a lot of people love fishing. A lot of our insect-eating fishes or fish eat chironomids, so they're a really big component of the gut contents. And fly fishers often end up tying midge flies.
This is the end of part one of the Tahoe Project interview with Dr. Barbara Hayford. Listen to part two, in which she talks about what shifts in the midge species composition in Lake Tahoe may tell us about the state of the lake.